Welcome. This is episode 7 of the Liberty Plays podcast, brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. My name is Eric Stahl, and let's do some introductions around the room. Immediately to my left is...
My name is Jacob Irish. I'm the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
My name is Dana Olson. I am the secretary of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and the director of chapter development for the state party of the Libertarian Party.
I am Joseph Keel. I'm the treasurer for Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
I am Donnie Henry. I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
And we have a special guest with us tonight. You want to introduce yourself?
My name is Tom Inman. I am a libertarian, part-time libertarian, full-time anarchist.
Love it. And he's sitting in for Jason Spires tonight.
All right.
Welcome, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming. It's the June 14th meeting, and we had a great meeting tonight. We'll go over that. Jason isn't here. The signature situation with Jason, I mean, we're knocking out pages left and right, right?
Very, very proud. Jason is the number one signature petitioner in the state. Ooh. He was voted as the member of the month last month. Jason Spires is a rock star for this.
It's like Peoria, like the epicenter of Libertarian of the Month in Illinois.
Of course, it should be.
I have two at the table right now?
We had some yearly annual, but Jason will be the next annual. No worries about that.
For sure.
All right. So, again, it was a great meeting tonight. Donnie did a great job as chairman.
Awesome.
You brought us a great special guest. I don't know what you talk about today. Asbel was great. Should we talk about your Liberty Talk? What do you want to talk about first, Eric?
Let's go into Asbel. I mean, amazing.
Yeah. So we'd had Brian Fengel here. He's the chief from Bartonville.
Chief from Bartonville, yeah.
Yeah, and he was tremendous. Really enjoyed it. And then Asbel came in tonight, and he is the sitting sheriff of Peoria County, and spent a lot of time talking about his policies and his programs. I was blown away personally.
Yeah, he really hit me with the mental health stuff and the partnership with Human Services Center, you know, with my wife working there. It's really important that, you know, we have somebody in that kind of position that understands mental health.
Yeah, and I really appreciated when he kept talking about, it's not necessarily just about, like, hitting, like, quotas or hitting, you know, incarceration quotas, because he realizes that it's really about the causes, and, like, it's not necessarily about just, like, giving someone a ticket just to give someone a ticket. It's like, hey, you know, sometimes if you give someone that ticket, it could ruin their entire life and set them down a trajectory that just, again, ruins their entire life. So for him, he was a lot more concentrating on causation, and that's something that I definitely appreciated.
He, something also worth noting is that all these programs that he's put into place, he's only been there for about a year, year and a half.
Yeah,
that was nuts, because it seems like he's
hit the ground running.
Well, and part of that is because he's been there for 22 years. I mean, the guy is, and that was what was impressive to me when I stalked him on Facebook, was basically,
creeped him,
was that he's worked in every single department in that office, and what he did say is, and no offense to, keep mixing these damn names up, the Bryans, but Brian Fengel, he's been in law enforcement, and what Sheriff Asbel said was that that's only, you know, 40% of the job. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he actually said 20%.
20%.
You know, so it's a big deal.
What was it, 60% or 70% was the prison?
Yeah.
Or it was 80. It was
80.
Some,
80,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, it was some giant number.
So his experience speaks volumes, and I don't know if you guys, what you guys thought about what I had said earlier, is earlier I had looked at their quarterly reporting, and Chief Fangle was predominantly funded, almost all of his funding was from unions and from corporations, whereas Sheriff Asbel was from himself, was his number one donor. I think it was like $50,000, which shows how much he wants this. And the rest were pretty much private individuals, other than like Darren LaHood and the Republican Party, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not going to fault Fengel on that, because like, if you're somebody running for any office, you're going to play the game, and if that's what you think you have to do to win, I mean, you're going to take money from whoever you have to.
Sure.
But yeah, there's an integrity aspect that it's hard to overlook.
Does he owe them?
If I can jump in on that, why is a county sheriff candidate taking money from unions? It doesn't make sense to me.
Or construction companies. That was another one that was a big one. He had like four construction companies. What is a sheriff going to do politically that's going to help a construction company?
Maybe they're just all really bad at investing. you know what I mean? You know,
they just have too much money. They decide that, you know, they have to have a write-off. I mean,
they
could be friends of his. Yeah. You have no idea.
Never know. Yeah. But
in my experience, where that comes from is sheriffs have pull in pulling permits for construction. Mm. That's the only benefit that I see, and I've experienced that personally. But other than that, I see no benefit in county positions taking union money. I can see that from the state level, but surely not the county level.
But even going back to that whole, like, pulling permits, you know, like, if someone is, you know, trying to do the best job that they can for the people, shouldn't they, like, if they're pulling a permit, shouldn't it be for a legitimate reason rather than a political one?
Well, unfortunately, I think permit pulling comes down to favors. Political favors.
Oh, come on. That's
outrageous. Oh, come
that's
on.
Who would say such
but
a thing?
But if we ran a libertarian sheriff candidate, we wouldn't need permits.
Yeah, licensing is the government's way to take your right and sell it back to you.
So wait, are you kind of insinuating that because Fangle is taking all of these, you know, campaign contributions from these construction companies, asserting that if they give them this money, then they won't pull their permits? Are you saying that, like, Fangle will provide them favors and ask all of them?
I'm not saying that there's any permit pulling or non-pulling, but what I'm saying is that there's definitely influence there. Yeah. And coming from Fangle, Fangle Country, Bartonville,
Fangle Country.
I see these favors that are being pulled in that area. Did I say my last name on the podcast?
No. Yeah, you did.
That's all right. Now,
can you edit that out? Edit that out. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think from the power comes the pull. Yeah. I mean, that's the brass tacks.
And none of it's an accusation. It's just a matter of it's interesting to look at.
It's a legitimate concern, especially from a voting electorate that is certainly sick of seeing this nonsense. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
There was more about Fangle. I mean, I asked him about the pensions. I like that. The guy, he did come off as like an aggressive cop. I was kind of shocked at his demeanor. He was kind of soft-spoken.
You mean Fangle? Or Fangle or Asbel?
You mean Asbel.
So Asbel. Jeez, sorry. No,
that is a common thing.
Let's just refer to him as Brian.
Hey.
I will get up
confused. Yeah, I can't lose with a Brian.
Brian A and Brian F.
Yeah, that was actually kind of hilarious.
I love that joke.
Yeah, going down to the third grade level, it kind of works.
And then his mom, you know, choked
Messing
me
in your head.
She did choke you.
No, I am.
How much dippity dude she get on her elbow?
You know,
he's a dapper man, Dapper Dan man.
He was talking to Eric and I a little bit afterwards and talking about the money that he saved. And then, what was it? Since he saved so much money
They
tried to cut his pay because now he wasn't overseeing another department because he was able to cut that out of taxpayer money. So they thought, well, you should take a pay cut because now you're not overseeing. I thought that was really interesting because he fired back at us, well, what's to stop me next time? I'll just buy new office chairs and buy a new car.
Well,
and
it really
opened up.
How many jobs at the state and the regional level where you actually save money for your department, is that an outrage? To people who've done this budgeting, and they want you to spend that money, and if you don't spend that money, they'll take it away from you. So, you know, where's the incentive for him other than, I mean, is it really just literally being a good guy? Is that why he's doing it?
Hopefully. You'd like to think that.
It feels that way, the way he was talking.
That's what it seemed like. Great thing, and I will say this, just to plug, I spoke with him after the meeting, and him and his wife were very interested in putting together a debate between Chief Fangle and Sheriff Asbel. Man, this is troublesome. But in a debate, that's going to be hard as a moderator. But yeah, they're interested in doing that, and I think that would be amazing because we are the independent voice in this area.
Absolutely.
So something to keep on the radar.
Cool. Do you want to talk about Liberty Talk?
We can. I talked it. So.
Yeah, you did talk the talk. So it was cool because today on the Facebook page, you threw out this image of John Locke and said, if you don't know who John Locke is, you're going to find out tonight.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we talk about a lot of policy stuff on the Liberty Talks, but you actually talk about a historical figure, and it was great. I mean, I don't want to have you do the whole Liberty Talk again, but I really feel like there was a lot of stuff you should share about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and here's the thing is that we look at libertarianism, and the last week, meeting, I had talked about factions, and that was good, right? We wanted to know who these anarchists are, who the minarchists are, you know, who the classical liberals are, and that was a great discussion. But the problem was is we didn't get to the root cause of who we are as libertarians, and that's the non-aggression principle. So the non-aggression principle, I think that all comes down to the basis of John Locke's philosophy. And John Locke was one of the first people to talk about that you have a natural right to life, liberty, and property. And that's the basis of everything. And if you have a natural right to that, anyone who tries to take those from you is immoral. And, you know.
So, I mean, is he like Declaration of Independence, Constitution guy? I mean, we're going way back here.
Yeah, absolutely. So he was in the 17th century, so he didn't live to see what we are today, the United States, right? But Thomas Jefferson, the entire Declaration of Independence was based on John Locke's theory, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, property. You know, that was a big thing. And we didn't talk about this, but one of the only reasons that they didn't use life, liberty, and property was because of slavery. Thomas Jefferson was a little bit more progressive on that, and he didn't want to, although, you know, back then they had slaves, but he didn't want that because he felt like it would take away from that. And one of the things he wanted to do was to stop that. So it's interesting, but that was one of the reasons they didn't use the exact terms that they would have been for that.
The original copy,
yeah,
before the edit, had life, liberty, and property.
Yep, just like John Locke.
Written by Jefferson. Yep. But then it was changed to be accepted by the other colonies.
So where did he live?
He was in England.
Was he?
Yeah, okay. John Locke was in England. So when we talked about their battles, he was what they called a Whig. Not to be confused with the Whig party here.
See, that's what I thought. When you said Whig, I thought you were talking about the old Whig party. Okay.
Yeah, but he
was talking about the actual Whigs,
yes.
Like the English, you know, curly hair, gray,
the judge
Whigs. Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting, and you got to be here to see it, guys.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, we were broadcasting.
Donnie showed up in a wig, too. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. In a red wig.
Ginger wig.
Yes. Can't even get that in Halloween City. Man. All right, so coming up, we got a couple things before we get to some other news. Just so people know,
I do want to like mention something about Paul. Can we today have like a little bit of a discussion about the non-aggression principle?
Please do.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, Dana. I'm not sure if you're allowed to bring up different subjects and on the agenda, but we'll allow it this one time and see how it goes.
Okay, this is something that I just kind of wanted to mention, just in general, and it was something that was just a little bit more enlightening to me is that. When anyone talks about, like, force, it's kind of very difficult. You know, it's very, like, okay, well, ambiguous, like, force. What is force? And I always think of force as, like, the ultimate force of someone's putting a gun to your head. And I know that sounds a little extreme, but that's pretty much ultimately what someone can do. Is that, like, even in terms of, like, taxes, even in terms of, like, pretty much anything in terms of, like, what the law is abiding by, it's saying that if we're saying that you have to do this, then we're not just saying, like, okay, well, you have to do this. Well, what is to the extent? To the extent is usually to put, like, a gun to your head, and that is what force is.
Well, that's the end of it. So when we talk about taxation being theft, you know, no. If we don't pay our taxes, nobody comes to your house immediately with a gun to your head. But at a certain point, it becomes tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
Certain point, you haven't paid. Certain point, you have a warrant. Certain point, they come and try to lock you in.
They nail a sign to your door, and then they show up with the squad car, and they take you away.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not saying that it's going to happen immediately, but that's saying that, like, that's the end point, is to, like, put a gun to your head. And so that's something that's really, like, that was a lot more enlightening to me, of just saying, well, it's not just, like, you know, the ambiguous term of force. It's actually saying, if you don't do this, like, someone can shoot you because of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the ultimate, like, one of the main reasons why I'm, like, super believing into the non-aggression principle, because it's saying that, okay, well, if, like, I'm going to keep living my life, but then if someone tries to harm my life, liberty, or property, then I can use force against them. And it's kind of like, then you reverse it.
Not to be confused with pacifism. And that was a key thing. A lot of people look at us as pacifists. No. No, we will mess someone up if we need to.
You got a damn dirty hippie, are you?
No way. Come on. Tommy's an anarchist. Just out of curiosity. So as a self-identifying predominantly anarchist, I don't want to put you in a corner, but what do you think about, you know, John Locke talked about that government is necessary to protect those rights. Where do you fall on that, those natural rights?
Well, I think that the government should definitely... defend our rights against those the natural predators that are always out there.
So you're more of a minarchist, really. I mean, when it comes down to it,
you know, I think I I consider myself an anarchist more on the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
I like the devolution of power.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the control, the immediate control for the citizenry should come from
the local,
our fellow.
Yeah,
no. Locals.
Neighbors. Yeah, neighbors.
You know, not from the federal level. Not that it does on a daily basis, but I think it's the mandation of policy. You know, passing down through the levels of government
and making this
that I really have a problem with. I don't think we need a federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think of the John Locke quote of "Where law ends, tyranny begins"?
You're probably good with
there's
it.
There's no just... five words that could be more true.
Yeah.
You know, where the law ends is where tyranny begins. I mean that's an extreme statement, but I mean nothing can be held to the truth more than that, because ideally that's.
Except
it's
when you think like
truth.
With anarchism, it's usually like the
so bottom line.
Government.
So you would say that at federal level we get rid of it. Localized government is where you're at.
Yeah,
and that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where I fall. And
I totally put him on the spot there.
And so.
You did. You guys are brutal.
Dana's
like, what do you think about this?
I don't think my views on anarchism and is perfect.
Yeah.
By any means, that's why I, I still can consider myself a libertarian,
yeah.
Because I think we are the party of truth and freedom and
liberty
and justice for all citizenry.
Well, and I think there's
also a
learning aspect
mm-hmm.
to this party too, because it seems like we always are progressing or we're learning new things and we're changing our thoughts and our I don't think that happens in the other parties. I think you put yourself on a channel, and you're there, and you agree.
As far as we know, we don't have a party whip.
Mm-hmm.
And the two major parties in the country, they have party whips. They keep them in check.
Yeah. Yeah.
They call it a whip for a reason, because they crack it, and And like you said at the beginning of the meeting, when I first sat down, I said, we are composed of these libertarians, these anarchists,
yeah.
and so forth. And I think our party of freedom has really become a catch-all in the less government folks to the on the other end of the spectrum. Can't we just dial down federal government little bit?
Yeah.
Can't we just grab it and turn it off of 11 for a second?
Well,
because I think that's where we will truly thrive. Is let's just dial it back, guys.
And we can teach, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So we can teach once
absolutely.
We bring them in.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, we are so evolved as a race.
Yeah.
That I don't think we really need a government on a federal level. I think we're very very capable of governing yourselves.
Been in Missouri lately? I don't know. So I'm just kidding.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on. Here we go. We try and keep the show down to 30 minutes, and that is yet to happen. I blame
Let's
Dana
do it.
Completely.
I'm sorry. I wanted to say one point.
No, just kidding. All right. So a couple things I did want to make. We had some announcements coming up here. Next Friday, we got our Chiefs game, our annual event now. This is 2 years in a row. They'll shine the light on the Libertarian Party at the ball game at the Chiefs Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Should be excellent. We'll all be wearing our shirts. And,
amen to that.
Yeah, and we hope nobody gets injured this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially no one pregnant.
Amber, if you're out there, we'll protect you.
Did Amber get hurt last year?
She got hit with a foul ball.
Yeah.
So that was, we're going to try and avoid that this year.
And then the Steamboat Classic is this weekend, which I know is not much time. This show will come out tonight, but this Saturday morning the Steamboat Classic is going on. And I know Donnie and Jason.
Yep, Jason and a couple other people will be there. It starts at 7, but as long as you, even if you don't have our personal number, message the Facebook page. We'll be connected, and we can tell you where we're at. Just collect signatures. It's the last drive. We have to do it if we want to get on the ballots.
Yep. So, they're doing good work, and there's going to be a lot of people down there, so we could use all the hands we could get.
Absolutely.
All right. So, a couple of things.
I don't follow the national stuff, so that's why I rely on my chairman of the local party. Donnie, what's going on up top?
Okay, so we have, sitting here right now, I believe two, it's only two today, but Jason is one, and Joe was going to be one, but he can't make it this time, but national delegates. And what that means is that Illinois elects, I believe we had 37 delegates, don't quote me on that, and we're going to send them down to New Orleans, and we're going to represent Illinois for our national party. We decide platform, and we elect party leaders. So there's the LNC is split into, Libertarian National Committee is split into regions, and then we have an executive board. So I'm not going to bore you with all of the region talk, although Bennett Morris, we've talked to him a few times, been on the podcast.
Been to a couple times.
He is running for LNC region rep, so that's good, and I think he's unopposed, so he'll get that, and that'll be good for us. And then we are going to vote on the predominantly the biggest thing is the chair and the vice chair. So right now, the chair comes down to two people. It's going to be Nicholas Sarwark, who's the current chair, and then it's a guy named Joshua Smith, who he's a veteran. He's a really good guy, but he's kind of a grassroots kind of guy. So it's coming down to them, and it's been pretty contested. Really, bottom line is this. Sarwark is the steady hand. You guys know Arvin Vora. Do you guys remember Arvin Vora?
Oh.
So Arvin Vora was a controversial figure.
Sorry. Yeah.
Was?
He is.
Still is.
He's still somewhere.
And
still
Arvin doing. Basically came out just guns blazing against veterans, against teachers. And it's part of the anarcho belief that we don't need any public schools. But he doesn't go like us. Like John Locke said, it's about our message, our non-aggression principle. As long as there's not force, do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't accept that. He's anti it, and he's come out against people. He's referred to soldiers as murderers,
Fun guy. Cool.
Yeah. Well, okay, I just want to say one thing about him, is that my biggest thing is that as part of the LNC, he shouldn't be as controversial as he is, mm-hmm. and that's kind of my problem with him, is that if we're trying to really better the party, do we really need someone with those, severe, controversial mm-hmm. Views, and it's not just against those. It's been a lot worse than than Donnie just mentioned.
I was going to say, I think you kept it kind of tame.
He did keep it very tame. Yeah. So
it was pretty bad to the point of advocating for pedophilia.
Yeah, yes. that's what I was remembering.
And so that's something mm-hmm. that it's at this point from my point of view is that we don't actually need someone in the public figure representing our voice,
and there's
because
time.
He doesn't represent our voice at this point.
And he can have a place in the party, but not as a leadership position.
Exactly. That's what I
believe. But we'll talk about the vice chair. But just to surmise, the reason that Arvin Vora is so important, Dana, thank you for saying that, is because Nick Sarwark had the ability to kick him out of the party, or kick him out of his position, and he did not do it. He felt that we were a couple of months away from the national having the vote, and he said, I'm not going to do that. So it's very controversial. People are angry at him. But what I will say about Nick Sarwark, and I've publicly endorsed him, so I'm just going to say this, and I'll let you guys talk about him if you want, is that if you've seen him on a national stage, when he gets up there, he commands the stage. Other people come in front of the quorum and to the body, and they lose control. Nick Sarwark comes back. And he's amazing. He's running for mayor of Phoenix. He is just the guy I feel we need at this time for one of the most important elections we're ever going to have in 2020.
Yeah, unfortunately, media savvy mm-hmm. is a huge thing now. If you can't present yourself, in front of a television camera and in front of a microphone, you're mm-hmm. not going to get it.
And I just want to say about Joshua Smith before we move on to the vice chair candidates. Is that Joshua Smith's really good guy. He's been reaching out. Joe, he's reached out to a couple of people. Jason, he's reached out to probably you, Dana.
He hasn't reached out to me.
He hasn't reached out to you. Okay. But he has a plan to raise $4 million in the first couple of years. He wants to invest in local elections. He's a grassroots guy. There's been some controversy talking about he's an alcoholic and a womanizer.
Right.
And you talk about that stuff, I feel like it's a distraction.
Yeah. Takes away from what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Illinois Party News? I know we gave the vote or the signature count tonight. What were we at, 46,000 or something like that?
Well,
we're over 35, but so this is something that I wanted to talk about, and Jacob and I kind of discussed this offline. So we're about 35,000. I just was in an SOC call where they authorized spending $9,000 of the party's funds for an additional amount of signatures, and they're hoping to be at 48,000.
Isn't there like a factor, like how many dollars you spend equals so many signatures or something?
They say $3 a signature.
$3
is
$2 to $3 is what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing with that. I looked at, while I was looking at, Fangel and Asbel's quarterly reporting, I looked at Cash's. Yeah, so I looked at the Brian's reporting, I also looked at Cash's, and he's got about $2,500 in the coffer. And I feel as if, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, when you are running for a state campaign, you should be self-reliant. Why is the party spending $9,000? And I voted for this motion because I feel like ballot access is that important. Mm-hmm. But why are we spending our money on a national? Why doesn't he fundraise to do that? Sorry.
No, yes, yeah. Yes.
But what do you guys think about that?
I've said it and been an advocate that you can raise $100,000 mm-hmm. before you can raise 100 hours of volunteer work. People will give money before they give time. It's just, that's just the reality of the world that we live in. People will give their money before they give their time. And I feel that there was a mistake made on that. So going off what you said, there should be a lot more fundraising instead of getting on Facebook and telling people and belittling people. Mm-hmm. I've been reached out to personally by people saying, thank you for saying that. I've donated such and such amount of money, and no one seems to give a shit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I think something should be said that more of the paid petitioner signatures are valid than the volunteer signatures are valid.
They're only paid if they're valid. So
exactly.
Yeah.
What that really means is that when people are asked, when they're talking to people, they're asking them, like, are you registered? Mm-hmm. Is this your correct registration? They're making sure they're checking off
each
point.
They want the money
because they want to get paid.
Exactly. Rather than with me, I'm just kind of like walking up to people. I'm just kind of doing it casually. Amen. I just like, you know, I'm like, hey, here's another signature. It's a lot more casual for me. But it's just because I just have the clipboard with me. It's a lot more of a different situation. I don't have money in the game.
Donnie, is there anything that happened maybe at the state level during the start of this that should have been done differently with money?
Well, I mean, you guys know my opinion, and I voiced it for a while, that I believe that a statewide candidate, whether it was our governor candidate was Cash, whether it was John, whether it was Matt, there has to be a level of fundraising that happens, and they need to be able to pay for things on their own. But bottom line is that they didn't do that. We have candidates across the state board that have no money, and now the state party is basically running their campaigns. They should have their own campaign, they should fund it, and the state party's money should go to local elections, and we should be paying our way to get people elected to city council, state rep. That's where we can win, not pray for 5%.
Maybe we should call Chad Grimm.
There you go. Well, I can tell you this. So we can talk about that. But here's the thing.
Well,
with Chad, I looked at his file. You know what he had? He had $50,000 come his way.
Yeah.
He raised money.
He did raise money.
So I can't look at him. And,
that's what I'm saying. You can raise $100,000 before 100 hours, 200, whatever you want to say.
I helped raise every penny of that, too. And we ran a very small but very successful campaign, which reminds me of something I wanted to ask with you guys. Where is the signatures? Where are the signatures? Where do we stand?
We stand at about 35,000 now. There were some outstanding from volunteer signatures, and they're going to pay for about another 10,000. And they're hoping to get in a couple thousand in volunteers in the next week or so. So we will probably be around what Chad Grimm turned in. However, we've got two billionaires that are going to send lawyers to try and get those signatures.
Oh, that's going to be brutal, too.
Yeah. So, and we don't have money like Chad did. At least Chad, this is what he told me, and you can probably tell me more, Tommy, about this, but he had a legal defense team ready to defend that, whereas I'm not sure that we do. So,
not if we got $9,000.
Yeah.
I'll confirm that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't like seeing the belittling on Facebook about signatures and so and so. You know, said they would get this money. I'll tell you right now that people will usually overpromise and underdeliver because at the time you just don't think about life and what life happens to you in the next 3 months And
come on, Jake, you got like a 6-month-old. I don't want to hear any excuses out of you.
I mean, hell, you want to talk about my last 90 days? We can get into that. I prefer not to.
Yeah. Jake, what I want to surmise this in is that, you know, we've gotten a lot of flack for talking about the cash campaign and all this stuff, and I don't really care what people think. That doesn't bother me. They can think what they want. We're not going to sink or make Cash's campaign a success by what we talk about here.
No.
But what I will say is this, is that I'm done talking about it. At this point, this is the strategy, and we're going to finish the strategy out, and then we as a party have to have a discussion about where we go from here. Do we continue to do this Hail Mary for 5%, or do we invest in winnable elections?
Yeah.
And that's the question.
Well, we have a bonus contestant.
Yes, we do.
Hi, my name is Will Washburn, and as I'm 23 years old, I'm African-American, and I'm a college student. I'm a pretty dynamic person, musician, and I'm studying engineering, I'm religious. But my question is, because I've seen in so many of the people that I know growing up and in my generation, in my age group, that we are looking for something that is not the establishment to invest in, to believe in, both in our time and our money. So we're looking for something that's not just a traditional Democratic or Republican. So as you just mentioned, that you're trying to discuss and decide on where the party goes from here. So to someone in my position who was looking for something to invest in and to align with, could you inform me as to where the party may be headed
at
this moment in time?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yes. And I'll field this just as the chair. I feel like I have some sort of responsibility to field this in that we have the message, right? I believe in this message. If I was selling this, I would be wholeheartedly invested in this message, right? It's how we brand it, and we have to make sure that we brand it and we put it in areas where it can succeed. Because if it succeeds once, right, if we elect a libertarian and we show that good government can be done through the libertarian message, we can say it can be done everywhere. But we have to get it done once at the local level and work our way up, rather than saying, let's elect Gary Johnson president, trust us, this will work. Who are you? That's what people think. Who are you? You've got to elect local people, and if we don't do that, there is no reason for you guys to invest, you know, we want you. We believe in this message, and I know that you listened tonight, Mo, and you saw that we have a pretty basic message. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff, you know?
And if I may, please ask Mo, what are you liking?
What am I liking?
Yeah. What are you liking?
What I like...
Ask any way you want.
What I like and what I look for out of my government, I guess, that's something I didn't consider. What I look for out of, I guess, my local municipality is that, I guess what this party stands for at its core is that I want my local municipalities, I guess local and federal, to protect and merely maintain the freedoms and liberties that I have at this moment. And what I see currently in today's climate of politics and government is that I feel a very vast disconnect from my government. I feel as if even though they are ruling from afar, that they have no connection with me as an individual and as a citizen in this country. And I feel like the decisions that are being made aren't geared towards me just as an individual. Regardless of what I believe in, regardless of what I desire or want, I feel like our government is in so many ways disconnected from its people. Whatever those barriers are, whether they be money, whether they be power, influence, that's another thing. But what I'm looking for out of a party, if you will, if it must be that, is that someone that's connected to me. Mm-hmm. And I think as the chairman Donnie has mentioned that, I guess the avenue of solutions as a way to go forward as a party is to invade the local level. That's what I want because I don't think the federal government really affects my life.
It's true. And so let me put that in action real quick. I know we want to get our 30 to 50 minute podcast done.
Yeah. We're in Dana time now.
But I will say this, that I sat at the city council meeting the other day, and this is just how disconnected they are. They proposed a $130,000 a year security contract for City Hall. $130,000 a year for City Hall, security contract. We just let go of firefighters.
Yeah.
We just let go of basic city services for for a $130,000 contract. We did a 2% raise for the city manager, who already is making way more. So my point is that it was a rubber stamp. Every single person voted for it. Done. And the problem is that if you had a libertarian in office, I would have screamed. I would have been sitting there, what are you talking about? Protect yourself, or at least bring a cop here that's already getting paid to do that. To do it, why spend $130,000 over 10 years? You know how many roads that could fix? I mean, you're getting me worked up, Mo. But that's why libertarians can be elected.
And absolutely. And what road could our city not fix, and we had to turn it over to the county?
Yeah. Well, the good news is, guys, the city council decided that if you're under 21 years old, you can no longer smoke or vape. So that handled.
They're protecting us from ourselves. Yeah.
I do want to just mention this.
I need a guiding light.
Sure, city council's where it's at.
Too legit to quit.
Yeah. Just ask that guy that does the not gym artist.
Yeah.
Exactly. I do want to just mention this, and this is something that the sheriff actually said in his speech, is that, you know, the local level affects the most change. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. The federal, really, it just affects very minuscule. In terms of your everyday life, it's very, very minimal. Mm-hmm. But the local, positions and local offices really affect the most change, and those are really the ones that are most important and the ones that are going to affect your everyday life.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, the federal government really affects me on, you know, payday Friday.
That's true.
That one really.
And so my final challenge before we move on to the next segment is this, is that get out there, follow through with the party's plan now. This is where we're at. But come November, wherever the chips fall, we readjust. And let's have that discussion. And don't let someone shut down your opinion. Let's have this discussion. Let's find a new way forward.
Well, and get involved with local politics. Yes. And the best way to do that is to be here July 12th.
Yes, yes. Please be here.
Yeah, that'll be the next meeting of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. I don't really have a whole lot. I did want to announce that the Peoria Podcast Alliance picked up our show. And we do appreciate that. It's a group of podcasters in Peoria. And they're working with a radio lab here in Peoria. So we'll be on that feed. So hopefully a few more listeners grab the show, and you're all welcome to come out to the next meeting for sure.
Absolutely.
That's all I really got, guys. Got anything else you want to add before we cut off?
Final comments?
LibertyPlays.com.
Oh, is that the website?
Oh, I think so. What's that website again?
LibertyPlays.com.
All right. So thanks again for listening, and we will see you next month. You'll hear us next month. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Good.